Time for Message in the Bottle on Downtown, brought to you each week at this time by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company at 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan joins us. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, and thank you for that exciting intro. It's one of those songs where, you know, as a, you know, recovering musician myself, you read all these interviews and everybody always talks about, you know, someone you can identify within, you know, 1 second or one note or whatever. And I'm like, that, even the intro before he starts playing. I wonder if my kids are ever going to care about stuff like that. I hope they will. I'm sure they will. I'm very much get off my lawn with my kids' music these days. Which is kind of funny, because I suppose that song probably came out when I was too young to, you know, formulate an opinion anyway.
Yeah.
Not to make people feel old.
My son has begun to embrace the hip-hop world, which is fairly removed from my listening experience.
Oh, my son is going around spouting lyrics. I'm like, I'm just hoping they're not misogynistic or something, because I don't know what. This is the truth. This is the unfortunate truth. I know someday I'm going to go back. I mean, I play music that's absolutely inappropriate for my children, have since day one, in the hope that, much like, you know, the French with wine, as a sort of a segue, you know, you become immune to the you know, ridiculous effects of it, and just sort of understand that, you know, cursing, like anything else, is just sort of a zesty part of life and has its place in time. And
yes,
but we'll find out. I do enjoy when my son, just before we get into the wine business, when my son is singing audible lyrics and he comes to, for instance, the F word, and he tends to drop it, you know, in the creative ways in which it becomes sort of a part of the background. It's tremendous. So he's got skills.
That's good.
Yeah. So, my gosh, all of a sudden we've got a snow globe happening outside.
Great.
I didn't really plan on that. I've stopped paying attention to the weather. It was like, oh, I hear there's snow coming. I'm like, because there is, I suppose there will be. I don't know. So I hope everybody who's hoping to get home at this point gets home safely. We are talking today. This is one of my favorite topics in the wine biz, and we have a new part of this that we'll get to. But this is what I call sulfite fining and filtering and other stuff people worry about, because of course there is, for better or worse, a mystery to wine, which, as I've gone over a million times, really there shouldn't be, because wine basically makes itself. I mean, if grapes are sort of, you know, crushed or crush themselves because of the weight, and the yeast on the skins takes over the sugar in the grape juice, you end up with wine. Like, it's not really a big mystery, but unfortunately, I think society has probably on purpose, made it a mystery, and you know, to, I guess, justify higher prices. I don't know. Not that I have high prices. I try to do my best. But, you know, sometimes you look at some of these wines and you're like, well, those wines are made the same as these other wines. Why are those $10,000 a bottle and these are $12? And there are sometimes reasons, but they're not all of them good. But price is something that people worry about. These other things are, you know, buzzwords that get tossed about, and I sort of like to, you know, take some time to clean them up. The first one I'm going to hit, sulfites, right? It's still on everybody's mind. People still come in. I'm allergic to sulfites, or so-and-so is a, you know, this is this, and this is that. So by law, right, if the wine contains sulfites, and it does contain sulfites unless they have been forcibly removed, because sulfites are a naturally occurring byproduct. Sulfur dioxide itself is a naturally occurring byproduct of fermentation, right? And is therefore in all wine subsequently. But if it says contains sulfites, that's because our government says you have to tell them that. It doesn't mean that any have been added. It just means that there's some in there. That said, there's very often, even in the wines that I deal with, which are, you know, very small production wines where people, you know, are aware of the lack of need to load up sulfites in wines, and we'll get to that in a second. They often will just include just a couple, just a trace amount. And why? Why are you adding sulfites? Well, the main reason is to help to preserve the wine. I mean, that's really why you're doing it. Bearing in mind that most wine still has a little bit of sugar in solution, and that sugar may also be in solution with some yeast, which may have died off at the temperatures involved, but sometimes, especially when you're not in temperature-controlled refrigerator containers on ships, otherwise known as reefers, nothing to do with the drug, they are sometimes subject to ungodly temperatures, which will reactivate the yeast, and that yeast will then eat the remaining sugar, and you will have what we call re-fermentation in the bottle. That can result in exploding bottles. It can result most often in the corks being slightly pushed out. If you ever see a wine in a store, a wine bottle, with the cork kind of popped out a little bit, it's very likely that bottle suffered some re-fermentation. So there's, and to remind everybody what fermentation is, as I was just talking to my kids about, right? When you have yeast and you have sugar, you end up with alcohol and carbon dioxide. So you are creating more, you know, carbonization, as it were, and it's pushing that cork out. Does that ruin the wine? It doesn't necessarily ruin the wine, but it no longer tastes like you wanted that wine to taste. So I would say that the winemaker would certainly say that has ruined the wine. It'll still have alcohol, but it's not going to, like, be the wine you wanted. So that's why people put sulfites in, right? Just to bear in mind, the sulfite count that we go by here in the U.S. is pretty much the European model, which says that up to 300 parts per million, 350 parts per million, and then 450 parts per million for white and sweet, respectively. We're talking about, like, less than 10 parts per million in most of the artisan wines that we're dealing with, at least in my store and most good stores. But the reason they have that high level of sulfites allowed is, again, to prevent things like that. The most important test is if you can drink Tropicana orange juice, you're probably good to drink any of the wines that we're talking about here today. I'm sure I'm sort of running out of time. Fining and filtering, just really quickly to talk about. This is a big topic for our vegan friends and things like that. When you're filtering, that's not such a big deal. That's just sort of taking out the dead yeast cells, what are called the lees, bacteria, tartrates, proteins, stuff like that, as well as the pulps and stuff. So you're just aiming for clarification and stabilization there. But fining is really where people start to get a little concerned, because some of the fining is when you add a fining agent, right, a substance that creates an absorbent or ionic bond with the suspended particles, which is also meant for clarification. But sometimes those fining agents can be like egg whites and stuff like that. So people want to know that these days, and that's totally fair. So just be prepared for that if you're curious. The other thing I really quick want to talk about, if I have time, I don't know, do I?
You have about a minute.
Okay, really quick. The other thing that people are scared about these days in wine, and I sort of want to mention this, is alcohol. there is a real push now for non-alcoholic wine, and the answer is that your calls for that are being answered, folks. We now have a fairly decent, I would say, including award-winning alcohol-free sparkling wine called Naughty. The Leitz family of Germany is now making an alcohol-free Riesling. We don't have it here yet, but I've put in feelers. So that's just an interesting new phenomenon that I didn't necessarily know that I'd see, that people really wanted good, high-quality, non-alcoholic wine, but they do. And we're seeing the results of it. So this is something to keep your eye on in the next 5, 10 years, where that goes. And I will definitely, now that it's being taken seriously, I'm like, cool, let's take it seriously. Let's see where it goes. So just something else to keep your eye on that I find kind of intriguing. In the meantime, hope everybody's well. Take care of each other. And just my quick push for anybody who wants to donate to Gibran's thing, anybody who knows our friend who owns the Briar Patch had a bit of a medical mishap. And if you go to my newsletter or whatever, I have the link to that or all over Facebook, pretty much anyone you know. Thanks, everybody, and I will talk to you next week.
Sounds great. Thank you, Eric. Be well.
Excellent. Thank you.
Eric Meehan, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company. Message in the bottle.